And the text is verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Beloved congregation, the text we're considering this morning speaks to us of the conversion of a sinner. For what is most important in life is that man be converted. And we call conversion a change of our being, of our attitude towards God. It is to have an apprehension of our guilt and to have a sense of the mercy of God and to experience a change of life, walk, and attitude. And the text, God's word speaks so often about conversion. And so we see also our text. And especially in these last words of our text today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It is an implicit call to conversion. And it shows us, as you can read in your bulletin, the urgency and the means and the resistance to this true conversion. So it's the urgency or the means and the resistance to this true conversion. We're looking first then at the urgency of true conversion. The apostle is here in Hebrews encouraging these Hebrews who were converted Jews who were now in danger of returning back to Jewish fables and to Jewish unbelief. He's now encouraging them and telling them that they should not give up, but that they should persevere. And the way to enter into the rest that the Lord has in store for his people, the way to enter into that rest is conversion. It's not hardening your hearts, but turning to the Lord in faith and repentance. And then this text is taken from an event that happened in the life of Israel in the wilderness, where several times actually we saw that the people were very obstinate, that they hardened their hearts, that they did not hear the voice of God, and as a result of that, many of them did not enter into the promised land of Canaan. They fell short. So what the apostle is saying here is that these you Hebrew Christians, you have confessed the Lord Jesus. You are, so to speak, partakers of the covenant of grace. You are covenant children. But just like your fathers also were once covenant children, but they forsook the Lord by their unbelief. They hardened their heart and they didn't reach the promised land. They drank the spiritual drink and they were under the cloud. They had gone through the Red Sea, which is compared then to baptism. And likewise, you Hebrews, you Christian Jews, you also were baptized. You have had the Lord's Supper, and you are under his covenant blessings. But unless you do not harden your hearts, you will fall short. And those people of Israel in the past, they could not enter in because of unbelief. In Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, here David refers to this. And David said, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You see, there is this confession, he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. But that does not guarantee automatic entrance into glory. It says, if ye will hear his voice today, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And David is saying that to the people of Israel of his days. And he looks back at the event that happened in the wilderness journey. And now the Apostle Paul here in Hebrews is taking up that same text and applying it now to the people of these Hebrews. Harden not your hearts today if you will hear his voice. There's a great danger being in church, thinking he is our God, we are the sheep of his pasture, and yet hardening your heart, that you become lukewarm and eventually becoming colder, indifferent, you will fall short of heaven. You will still then perish. And so the question comes to us, am I truly his or not? Am I maybe hardening my heart? So then we ask the question, has my heart been made soft? Or do I just have a heart that has been tidied and cleaned up a bit, but not softened, not renewed? It's an urgent matter to consider. For all of us, do you have a soft heart, a new heart, or do you still have a hardened heart? That's the issue. And the text says, today, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So the text tells us, to New Testament Christian church, to us, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So that shows us that we only have one day to be converted, one day to be delivered of a hardened heart. And that shows us the urgency. If there's only one day, that's today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The matter is urgent. Why is it urgent? Because of one day. But why is it else urgent? Because we are by nature under the wrath of God. If we do not have a new heart, we are under his wrath. If our heart is still hardened, not being humbled, has not been broken, then we are living under the wrath of God. You may not feel it, you may not see it, you may not believe it, but that's what God's word says. Only in Christ Jesus, with a softened heart, a broken heart, you are saved. Outside of that, you perish. You know, we are conceived and born in sin, and therefore we are born under the wrath of God. And by nature, we just live on like that. You and I, we want a comfortable, easy life. But unless God intervenes in our lives, we will perish. Unless God takes the initiative in your and my life and renews us, we will remain to be under his wrath. It's not enough that we adopt some religious practices, just as the people of Israel, they adopted religious practices. And they went out every day to collect manna. And on the Sabbath day, they didn't do it because they knew they were not allowed to do so. They brought their sacrifices. There were no unchurched people in Israel. And they had seen such great miracles, and they even told to each other what the Lord had done, such a mighty story, event, account of how the Egyptians were overthrown in the Red Sea. Sure, they told those stories to each other. But many still had hardened hearts. You see, you can have outwardly a religious life, but you still have a hardened heart. And what was the problem then with these people? Well, the problem is this: they have never received the Word of God. They rejected God's Word. Or they were glad when they saw water coming out of the rock. But their hearts remained just as hard as that rock had been. The Word of God never had a saving impact upon them. There can be some temporary reactions in the soul, and for sure they will. We are emotional people. Of course we have some emotional reactions to religious impressions, because that's how we are made. We are made as religiously inclined people. Even an atheist is a religiously inclined person. But with all that, the Word of God may never have entered one's heart. It never germinated like seed in the soil. And that's why the Lord says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the time. And God is still inviting sinners to enter into his rest. And the eternal rest earned by the Lord Jesus Christ, what is that? That's salvation in heaven. And God is still offering us salvation. But he is doing it today. We don't know about tomorrow. The opportunity to enter into God's rest is only a limited time. It's not indefinite. That time will be cut off for all of us. It will end at the time of death, or for some people, even before the time of death, that they become so hardened. This offer is limited. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is still striving with your and my spirit now and urging you and me to submit. But God will not strive with us forever. He says, today I will do it. And today is the only opportunity we can be sure of. Today, God holds out the golden scepter. And if you accept it today, you will be saved. Today. But if you refuse it, your heart will be more hardened, and you will become more and more gospel hardened, that eventually you don't care anymore, and eventually you say, I want to listen to something else. I want to lighten up. I want to enjoy life more. Why do you say that? In the face of a holy God under his wrath. Because your heart has become more and more hardened. It's serious. It's happening around us. It's scary to have a hardened heart. God is striving with you now. You do not know if God will do it again. You know, the devil deludes many people. Oh, he is the master liar. And he lets people think that they have lots of time to repent. And on top of that, that they have lots of opportunities. And that they also have lots of ability to repent. Lots of time. Lots of opportunities, and you can do it any day. You just say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner," and God has promised to hear prayer. So it's so easy to be saved. You can do that at any time. But the devil is a liar. From our side, it's impossible to be saved. From our side, it's impossible to be saved. But from God's side, there is every possibility, every opening. But God has given us a certain time to repent. Now, woe to us if we let that time slip. Many people have been under the offer of repentance and they let the time slip. It's so easy. It's one of the easiest things in life to let the time of grace slip. You just sit in church and you sing the psalters and you dream the hour away. You do nothing. No exertion, so easy. And the people will look at you and say, "Oh, he went to church. He must be a wonderful man." And you just go home again. And the evening you do it again, and next Sunday again. You just do nothing. Don't get serious. Don't get excited. Do nothing. And you let the time of your visitation slip. And sure, there may be some emotions. But as the morning dew, after 2 hours, it's all gone. That's how emotions are. But that's not how genuine repentance is. Repentance is a radical change of heart worked by God's Spirit that I grieve because of my sins and I yearn for the Lord and for His righteousness and I turn away from sins and I call upon the name of the Lord. And God has given us a certain time in which we are called to repent, and that's today. It's urgent. But the Lord has also given certain means for conversion. That's our second point. There are certain means for conversion. A first means is the gospel. God gives us the gospel. And in the gospel we find God's wonderful grace. There the miracle is that God reveals Himself as one who delights in mercy. And He promises therein that when a sinner humbles himself before the Lord, that the Lord declares that though his sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's humanly speaking unbelievable. When God offers His mercy, then even if our sins were as crimson engraved upon our faces, they shall be clean, white as wool. And when God gives grace to repent, then let our sins be ever so great. But then really our sins are not the issue anymore, because His blood cleanses from all sin. This is the marvelous gospel. He shed His blood as a full remission of sin. And in and through Christ, God is most gracious to penitent sinners. If you would humble yourself before the Lord and you return to Him, you say, Lord, I don't even know how sinful I am. I don't even feel how hardened I am. But I need Thee to save me. He will receive you. And that's why the Lord gives us the gospel. But there's also another means for conversion. Another means. And that is by smiting you, by convicting you. You see, that's painful. If you do not want to listen, what can easily happen is that the Lord smites you. Then His judgments start to be poured out upon you. And you feel His hand punishing you, resting upon you, chastising you. Certain things can go wrong in your life. You're wondering, why is this happening to me? But also you can receive convictions of sin. You have no rest anymore. God's terrors can overtake you. Because the Lord knows that often we are so hardened that unless His terrors overtake you, you will not repent. In Psalm 7, verse 11 and 12, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. The Lord threatens with his punishments, and the Lord can give impressions of judgment and of hell so that you would escape it. You see, if the Lord really wanted to judge you, He would carry it out immediately. Some people are snatched out of this life like that, from a wicked life. The days are cut off. But if the Lord warns and threatens for judgment, that's an implicit call to repentance. So convictions, that's also a means to conversion. There's another means, and that is time. Time is most precious. God gives you and me time to repent. In Revelation 2:21, the Lord Jesus says to the false prophetess Jezebel that she had received space, that's time, to repent, yet she did not repent. The Lord gives time also to you and me. And you know, we are not aware of what's going to happen in our lives. Perhaps you will live till you're long, till you're old. And it can also be that you may feel as if your days and your opportunities for salvation are in your own hands. Maybe you I've got lots of time to repent, lots of opportunity. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Psalm 31 verse 15, my times are in Thy hands. I don't know how long I'm going to live. My life can be cut off tomorrow. My times are in God's hand. We say, my times are in mine own hands. I've got lots of time. But it's God's prerogative to do what is fitting in his sight. A friend of mine, I finished seminary with him, was only permitted to serve in the office 6 years. And then the Lord took him due to sickness. Well, there are other ministers I know who could serve nearly 60 years in the office. You see, it's God's prerogative. Time is a means of grace. Healthy men can be cut down to the grave in no time. The fact is, God gives you and me time to repent. And time is a means of grace. And you know it's an insult to God because you think God still gives you time, that therefore you don't have to repent. That's what we say. Oh, I've got lots of time, so I don't have to repent. Well, actually, God gives us time that we would make use of it today and be converted. One of the many sins we do is that we abuse time, that God shows grace to you to urge you to repent by giving you time, and that you and I don't make use of it. That's time. That it is also another means for repentance. And that is, God gives grace to repent. God gives grace to repent. Because you know, even if the Lord gives you time to repent, that does not mean that you also have the grace to repent. Because it may be that you will live long. It may be that you will hear many sermons in your life, but it can very well be that your heart will be so hardened that you lack grace to repent. Because, get this now, it is not our ability to repent or not. It's God's gift. God gives repentance. Acts 5:31, the Lord Jesus is lifted up at the right hand of God to give repentance and remission of sins. It's not a decision you make, I decide hereby that now I am a believer and now I have to believe that I believe. That's not repentance. That's some figment of our imagination. You see, God must give us grace of repentance. It's a matter, repentance is a matter within God's reach, but it's a grace out of our reach. Our hearts need to be set in motion to turn to the Lord. And today the Lord is at work through his word, calling you, inviting you, and we hope and pray, working in you to know this repentance. Be meek, realize your dependence upon God, and pray for God's grace to give you repentance. The opening of the eyes of the blind is in God's hands. Repentance is God's gift. And you know, this all corresponds to what the Bible tells us. Acts 11:18, that when they heard these things, they held their peace, these early Christians there in Jerusalem, and they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, just as God gives life, He also gives spiritual life. He gives repentance. And that's why Jeremiah says, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned." Jeremiah 31:18. You see, it's only after you are instructed by God's Spirit that one shall be truly ashamed. That's what Jeremiah says in the next verse, 31:19. "After I was turned, I repented. I was ashamed." You see, a sense of shame because of our sins is an outworking of God's gift of repentance. So if you know this grace and gift of repentance in your life, thank God for this gift. And never forget the benefit He has given you. Whatever ill you may go through or hardships you may go through, never forget that God privileged you in giving you this unspeakable grace of repentance. And also ask more grace to be daily renewed after His image. Grace to listen more and more to the Lord. And then there's another means to conversion. Another means, and we call that the totality of God's Word. The totality of God's Word. What does that mean? Well, God's Word, the continual exposure to the Word of God, works repentance. You see, Jeremiah says, 23:29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces." If you pound with a hammer upon a rock, it will break. If a water drips on the same spot of a rock, takes a long time though. But you do see the rock changes. Well, if the Word of God is exposed, the daily reading, separating yourself from people, going into your inner chamber, opening the Word, reading it carefully, rereading what you just read. You don't want to let the Word slip. You reread and then you pray over it. That will work repentance. And then you find in the totality of God's Word so many promises. Promises to encourage you to expect life and grace from the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me." It sure is a day of trouble when you see I must be converted and I cannot even do it. I must, but I can't. And in that tension, you call upon the name of the Lord. And God invites you and promises you that when you fall down before Him, confessing your sins, that He shall hear you. He will deliver you. But if you do not embrace this offer, and you say, "Well, yes, I know, but another time," or then you despise His Word. And then there's still one last means the Lord uses to lead sinners to repentance, and we call that the riches of His goodness, long-suffering, and patience. The riches of His goodness, long-suffering, and patience. Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Well, congregation, how about you just look at your own life and how much goodness has God given to you? How many prayers has the Lord answered? And how many have you and I forgotten? Answered prayers the Lord has given, knowing very well that we were going to forget all the goodness he shows us. And yet he gave it so many times. And where has all this brought you? All the riches of his goodness, where has this brought you? Do you despise them, or do you love them? Has his loving kindness led you to repentance? O God, thou art so good for a sinner like me that breaks your heart. Why such goodness? I didn't deserve, I shouldn't even have been here. If I look back at my life, I should have been elsewhere. Is that how you look at your life? Does that not bring tears to your heart and to your eyes? You know, it brings tears of repentance. But now then, we must move on, congregation. This finally also to look at the resistance to this true conversion. Our last point, the resistance. Now, why is it now that so many are not converted? Why can people easily be in church, hear much of the gospel, and remain unconverted? Why? It's because people resist this call. In the days of Joshua and Moses, days of David, in the days of the Hebrews, harden not your hearts. That means they were hardening their hearts. There were no heathens. They were Jewish, God-believing people, Christians. They were hardening their hearts. Now, how can you harden your hearts? In various ways. Various ways you can harden your hearts. For instance, you can be that you become accustomed to sinning. You feel at ease with certain sins. Zephaniah 1 verse 12. There it says, I will search Jerusalem with candles. I will punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. So, the Lord says there to Jerusalem, his covenant people, I will search Jerusalem with candles, with lights. And it means everywhere, the whole city he knows. And all the men that are settled on their lees. What is that actually? Settled on your lees. What does that mean? Well, a lee, that's a protecting shelter. A lee is a protecting shelter. So if you are settled on your lees, you feel very comfortable in your protective shelter. You feel very comfortable in your own comfort zone. Your protecting shelter. And it says further in Zephaniah 1 verse 12, what do these people say? They say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. And isn't that exactly what so many people say? Who is scared, frightened about hellfire? Who on this day thinks really of hellfire and judgment? We can be so settled on our lees that we'll say, the Lord does not do good, the Lord does not do evil. Really, it makes no sense if you pray or if you don't pray, because it will all go on anyway as how it must be. It makes no difference. It makes no difference if you sin or not sin. I first thought if I would do this sin, that terrible thunderbolts would come down upon me. But nothing happened. I do it again and again. Now I think nothing of it. I know my parents were much stricter, but I'm not like that anymore. I'm now enlightened. And so we are used to sinning. And we say the Lord doesn't bless me if I don't do it. And the Lord doesn't punish me if I do it. So I'm settled on my lees. And what you're doing is, you are hardening your heart. Your question is not, how can God be glorified and honored more in my life? But your question is, how can I have a most comfortable life? And then also, it's another way how to resist the Lord's grace is that you're not taking God's word seriously. That God comes with his word to us. He sends his ambassadors proclaiming that today is the day of salvation. And then you respond, yeah, sure, I will repent, but first I will enjoy as much as I can of this world, and when I feel I have to leave this life, then I will pray, O Lord, have mercy on me. But what a disgrace to postpone conversion. What a disgrace to be unreconciled to God. You are despising the word of God. That's what the Lord Jesus is warning us for in Matthew 5:25, where he says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So what does that mean? If you have a quarrel with someone, that then you have to, well, there's the Lord Jesus saying here that you have to, if someone wants to sue you, you have to, well, make sure it's all right again. Is that what it means? No, it doesn't mean that. Agree with thine adversary quickly. God is your adversary. And unless you agree with him speedily, his patience will break out in fury. Psalm 2:12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. You have no assurance of your life. You can be snapped off like that and you think you have a long time to repent. But if you are not on the way of repentance, you are on the way to hell. But the Lord calls you today not to harden your heart. Now is the time of salvation. But maybe you still say, well, I want to be a bit older. Well, in the first place, you don't know what you're saying. Because I assure you, my friend, that the best thing that can ever happen to you in your young life is that you learn to tremble for a holy God, and that you learn to love passionately this God who gave his Son. And to know his love in your heart will make you to realize that this life is worthwhile living. Because his love poured out in your heart is the best, not to be compared to anything of this life. And it will give you much joy and much peace and much true happiness and gladness in your young life if you know repentance at a young age. But the devil tells us, no, it's better to enjoy the world. You will never enjoy the world. You will suffer of the world. Because people in the world, they are not happy. They suffer. You will only be happy with the Lord in your life. But still people think, well, I will wait till I'm older. But think even what a dishonor that is to God, that you want to give him your feeble old age at the end of your years, and you want to give the devil your young and strong years. Why would he have to accept you when you so scorn him? In Malachi 1 verse 8 it says, if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? If you have to give an animal as a payment to your governor, will you give him a sick animal? Will he say, well, thank you? Can you give a sick animal to the altar in the temple to be sacrificed? Do you think you can offer the remnants of your life to God and that he will accept it? You don't have to look for a blessing from heaven if you offer corrupt sacrifices to the Lord and you are really to offer yourself. Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But maybe you are loath to part with the pleasures of sin. But really, it's by God's grace that when your eyes are opened, you see, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. And he is inviting you now. He is stretching out the golden scepter. He invites you. He calls you not to harden your heart. And the implication is then that he will receive you now, yet even now. After you may have wasted a part of your life in the service of sin. Assure yourself that the devil is a liar when he tells you you have enough time to repent. Because reality is, the older you get, the colder you will become. Lot, when he was in Sodom, he had nearly to be dragged out of Sodom by those angels, because it was so hard for him to leave. Sin is a weight. And it's a burden. If that weight becomes larger and larger, it's much harder. It's also compared to a rising flood. Sin, you can first wade through, then walk through it, then swim through it, but it becomes so much, it overpowers you. You can't take it anymore. The deceitfulness of sin hardens a person. So don't say you can say later on, O God, be merciful to me. Ask people who are old and sick. They have no strength anymore than to start seeking the Lord. But the Lord is calling us now in the time of grace. And so the Lord God opens his heart of love and mercy for you. And now he calls you to turn to him and to not to harden your heart. Oh, flee to him and beg the Lord to soften your heart, and that the Lord Jesus would enter your life, would change you, would renew you. Do we know this Savior? Do we know what it is to have a contrite heart? You will want to say that eternal, that at the end of your life, The Lord is opening his heart to all of us. Flee to him and find life and salvation in him alone. Amen. O Lord God, at the end of this service, it behooves us to give thee humble thanks for these rich overtures of grace. And O Lord, we pray that thy word that could echo in this church this morning, that it may yet be owned by thee and applied to the heart. O Lord, we pray, if thou wilt give us grace to realize that repentance is not something within our own reach, but that it is something which thou dost give. O Lord, may we truly be humbled before thee, begging of thee that grace of repentance, that there would be a turning unto thee in our lives, a concrete repenting of sins and a turning away from them, a coming to ourselves and a fleeing to thee, asking thee for grace from thy riches. O Lord, be with us, we pray, and bless this congregation in mercy. Bring us back again this evening, and may again we hear thy word. We thank thee for strength thou hast given to speak thy word, although it was with shortcomings. And in weakness, wilt thou yet bless thy word. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.